Welcome to Energy Matters, where we explore alternative health in the Pioneer Valley. I'm your host, Caroline Rutterman, and I'm a Reiki professional and intuitive in Northampton, Massachusetts. For the past 9 years, I've been teaching people how to use their intuition and helping them reduce stress and anxiety. Together, we'll talk with other practitioners and learn how they bring health and healing to the Pioneer Valley. Let's do this. Today, we are talking about summer skincare, which is, of course, a very important topic as it is summertime and we're all getting outside. And, you know, sometimes we get those sunburns and, you know, finding out what kind of products to use is really important to take care of our skin. So, you know, sometimes health and taking care of ourselves is preventative and just knowing the type of stuff that we're putting into our skin and into our bloodstream. So today, which is very exciting, we are going to interview Lori Schott of Euphoria Float Spa and Skincare. So welcome, Lori.
Hey, Caroline. Thanks for having me.
Of course. I'm really glad you're here. So before we get started, before we really get into like the heart of the issue, can you tell us a little bit about what it is that you do as an esthetician? Just tell us a little bit more about your work in general.
Yeah. Well, I'm a registered and licensed esthetician, and I've been doing this for the past 16 years after a career change in the medical field. So it was kind of something that I got into just because, you know, I'm still taking care of people in a different way, though.
Yeah.
And I've always been interested in skincare. So, anyway, I do facials and waxing and all kinds of other kind of techie things like microdermabrasion and facelifts, body sculpting.
Cool.
And I also have my own line of skincare products that I created about 10, 12 years ago as well.
Absolutely. And that was a big part of how I got to know a lot of your work was through your skincare products that you developed, which, you know, for me, I was really attracted to that because even though it doesn't have the labeling of vegan or cruelty-free, that's everything that it was, right? Like that it's all plant-based. Mm-hmm. And it's the Pavitra line of skincare.
Yes.
that you have. Where can people find that, by the way?
Right now it's pretty exclusive to the shop at Euphoria Float Spa.
Awesome.
I also have it on the shelf there. In the past I had, you know, it was kind of like an e-commerce site, but I kind of really like to keep it kind of small and more specific to my place. It's my own brand.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really, really good stuff. I would highly recommend using it for, you know, your summer or your winter skincare routine and all that kind of good stuff. But we'll get a little bit more into that. So can you tell me a little bit about the difference between like why somebody would go to the dermatologist versus why they would go to an esthetician? Like I know my mom works very closely with her dermatologist for, you know, she used to be a sun worshiper when she was growing up and, you know, in the 60s, and she has a lot of like aging spots now. And I know that like she works very closely with her dermatologist to make sure that like none of them, you know, anything that's like precancerous gets removed or whatever. So like,
mm-hmm.
I know that, you know, that's sort of on the other end of the spectrum of skincare. But why, like, can you just tell us like a little bit about the difference between like what it is that an esthetician does, for skin health and skincare versus like why they would, you know, like a dermatologist, like what's the difference between the two?
Well, yeah, the major difference is that a dermatologist is a doctor and
right.
an esthetician is a skin care specialist, and they, you know, they can't prescribe medications or anything like that. And, you know, we both can do, like, peels, chemical peels, but one of the major differences with any doctor opposed to an esthetician is that as an esthetician, we are only allowed with our license and registration to work with the epidermis, which is the dead layers of skin, versus the dermis, which is, involves all the living layers of
skin.
Gotcha.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And so the things like the, you mentioned a chemical peel, like that, what is a chemical peel? That sounds very strong.
It does. Basically there's two different kinds of peeling of the skin. And there's mechanical and then there's chemical.
Okay.
And the same with mechanical. Mechanical is anything from you going to the store and buying a little tub of a facial scrub and just scrubbing, the whole action of mechanically doing it yourself, whether it's with me with like a microdermabrasion, or you doing your own, you know, little scrub, that
right.
You're actually performing this mechanical movement of removal.
Exactly.
And
gotcha.
With chemical, it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, like a real heavy duty chemical. A chemical is any kind of reaction that's made by putting a product together that has, you know, a certain enzyme that can remove and actually decrease the pH of the skin to allow that exfoliation to happen. So
gotcha.
Those are the two major types of exfoliating.
Okay. So it doesn't, gotcha. So it doesn't have to be like a chemical peel. It doesn't necessarily have to be done with like stuff that's going to, I don't know, whatever I have in my brain that would look like, whatever images are flashing in front of me. So it could be done with a fruit enzyme
or a
vegetable. Okay. Okay, cool. That makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. It's the fruit acids that basically are, you know, doing the actual work of removing, you know, the dead skin opposed to you mechanically doing it.
Okay.
So the machine or with your hands.
Now, this is sort of, this is a question that kind of makes me think, like, when you get a sunburn, like, when your face or your skin, like, fully burns and gets red and inflamed, is that just affecting the epidermis, or does that go deeper?
Well, you would hope that it would just affect the epidermis, because it is the dead layer. I mean, you have to go down pretty deep, whereas if, you know, like you were in a house fire or something and you had third-degree burns, you're going right into the dermis.
Right, okay.
So most of the time, you know, sunburns are superficial, even if they're pretty bad. But, you know, I guess you could get burnt pretty bad where you actually kind of got into that raw area.
Right.
And
that's
healing.
Yeah, and that's where, like, I'm sure the nurse in you comes out a little bit, because you're like, no, like, that's what happens to skin with burns, and, like, that's mm-hmm. what happens when you do it for beauty. Like, you know, it's many
yeah.
different layers. Yeah.
And then, you know, you get into, you know, more risk of infection as well. So that's another reason why it's kind of left for the doctors to do, and I don't have anything that strong at my place anyway, you know.
Right. So a lot of the work that you do is more focused on, like, the hair removal, of course, and then through, like, the waxing and also facials. So tell me a little bit about so hold on, sorry, I'm just, like, looking at two different things here. So what makes the summer so challenging to take care of our skin? Like, and, like, how is that different from 30 years ago when, like, my mom was sun, you know, like, doing all this, like, sun worship versus, like what it is now? Like, I feel like there's a lot more warnings out there and a lot more, like, recommendations about how the time frame that you're supposed to stay, you know, out of the sun, and, like, why is it so challenging to take care of our skin in the summertime?
Well, I mean, I think that it should have always been this way, but we learn more as we get more technical and learn more about our atmosphere as well.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, summer skin has definitely changed from 30 to 40 years ago, because it's an increase of awareness of skin cancer and how serious melanoma is, you know.
Right.
I think the day, they used to say, oh, you get a little spot of skin cancer, you can go and get that removed. But, you know, that's one kind of cancer, but melanoma can kill you, and it's very serious. And I think that a lot of the awareness has become also with the Earth's natural sunscreen, which is the ozone.
Yes.
And I think that, you know, that shields life from excessive amounts of ultraviolet radiation. And our ozone layer is, you know, being damaged by chemicals and refrigerants and aerosol sprays and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I think that a lot of that kind of plays into effect, too, where we're realizing that we're getting burnt more than we did 30 years ago because of this.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I think that's a really important thing that to remember. It's like the products that we're using on our bodies are also, you know, like our, you know, that like aerosol hairspray or, you know, spray paint or whatever, like all that stuff does go into the atmosphere. And, you know, if it's not going directly into our bodies, it's going into our environment. And, you know, again, it's affecting, it's like the circle of, you know, of life in that way.
Yep.
So it's really important to like know what kind of products we're using and, you know, like how we're affecting the world around us.
Yes, it's true. And you know, and that brings to awareness, you know, the different types of sunscreens that are out there now. I know, you know, now everybody is, you know, and I just recently launched a new physical sunscreen because I didn't want to have a chemical sunscreen anymore. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, with the coral reefs all being destroyed, they're finding out that a lot of that has to do with, you know, sunscreens and that are being put into the ocean, oils and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I've been seeing that like on some products more and more lately is like, safe for coral reefs. And it was like the first time I was like, oh, like, I feel like it was just like, at least for me, what I started seeing was like this season was like safe for coral reefs. And I was just, it was like another environmental connection. You know, it's not just our ozone layer that's preventing us from, you know, getting the, you know, UV rays and stuff. It's like also our coral reefs that are affected by the chemicals that we're putting onto our body. So what is the chemical or like, what is the stuff in sunscreen that is affecting the like ocean and coral reefs and that ecosystem?
Well,
like what is it that we should be like looking at the ingredients for on the back of our containers?
There's so the difference between the chemical and the so a chemical exfoliant has like oxybenzone.
Okay.
And other chemicals like that you can clearly recognize that they're not like for instance, you know, most of the physical ones, it's actually titanium dioxide and zinc oxide that actually help to like scatter the UV rays away from the skin. So it's a physical blocker.
Gotcha. Okay.
Opposed to like, yeah, and if you pick up a bottle and you start reading the ingredients and you start seeing all the, you know, the oxys and the benzones and benzenes and things that you can't really pronounce, usually it's something that's not really good.
Okay, yeah. So just a little recap. So you can either have chemical protectants or mechanical blocking sunscreens, correct? Is that right?
Correct. Yeah. And that's what some of the, like I was telling Caroline, that a lot of the ingredients in these sunscreens that we see on the counters in many of the stores contain some chemicals that are believed to contribute to coral bleaching and mortality levels that have been, you know, because of significant stress in the oceans. There's actually, it's kind of interesting that I just read the other day, because that's what I do, that Hawaii is one of the first states that has banned the ingredients. And so, you know, so we were in the middle of talking about that.
They were banning the ingredients for the, like, the oxybenzoins that you were saying?
Yeah, those kind of things.
Like the whole state banned these products?
Yeah.
Whoa, that's awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just like another thing is, like, avoid anything that contains any kind of, like, petroleum, mineral oil.
Okay.
Because it takes, you know, years for those to biodegrade.
Right.
And they're very harmful or fatal, you know, to any kind of life in the ocean or lakes or, you know, ponds that you may be swimming in.
Okay. And so would those ingredients be listed as, like, it'll be listed as mineral oil, or would it say like oxybenzoins, or like, would that, what exactly, how are they listed? Because I know that that's something that trips me up all the time when I'm trying to find ingredients to stay away from, but like sometimes they're in different compounds or in different forms, and so there'll be like 200 different listings for like the same thing that I'm trying to avoid and had no idea even, you know. It's so what is that exactly, like, what would be on the ingredients list to watch out for?
It might say mineral oil, but it also, anything that starts with like the petrol, you know, you can kind of pick that out as well.
Okay.
Because it, you know, it's, you can pretty much see the word in it, petroleum. So
gotcha.
Different forms of it.
Okay.
You know, it's, you can tell that it's a chemical pretty much if you don't know what it is and you look it up.
Yeah. And that's the signal. Like, that's the sure sign.
Yeah. Like if you read my ingredients, it says, you know, the active ingredients is titanium dioxide.
Okay.
And it's a very low percent too, which I want to stress that point too, because they say that high levels of titanium dioxide, like real high percentages, are really not that good either. But mine is only 5% zinc and 5% of the titanium, which isn't a lot of things. It helps to, like, you know, block the sun's rays. But, you know, it's like you look at my ingredient, it's like aloe vera, and aloe leaf, you know, cucumber fruit extract, and blue passion flower. You know, it's like you read those, and, you know, sometimes they're in their, you know, botanical name, and if it's something that you don't know what it is and you look it up, it's usually like a botanical thing.
Gotcha.
But you can pretty much tell the chemicals when you see them. They'll stick out. You know, I don't have bottles of things in front of me right now to read through them. So just on the off the top of my head.
That's okay. That would be some like congressional filibuster style like conversations, just like reading off the ingredients of like a sunscreen bottle. So we'll stay away from that.
Just have to be, you know, kind of proactive. And
yeah.
If you're reading an ingredient and you don't know what it is, look it up. You know, and chances are, if you don't know what it is and you look it up and it's a, you know, it's a chemical, it's probably one that you should be careful of. And like I say, anything that has, it's not just sunscreens. I always tell all of my clients as well to, like, stay away from the mineral oils and stuff like that too, because that's a lot of things where people will say, well, I don't like to wear any kind of sunblock at all, because it might make my skin break out, or,
right,
you know,
yeah,
I have issues with, you know, like it gets, I can't use it on my baby because it gets in my baby's eyes. And,
yeah.
You know, and when you sweat and, you know, all those things. So those are like things that, you know, people avoid because of, I won't do this. But, you know, there's a lot of pros and cons of, you know, physical sunscreens opposed to chemicals. There's a lot of arguments on both ways. And my biggest thing is, you know, just to, like, stress to people that have to make sure that you're buying something that's UVA and UVB, because it blocks the both of those rays.
Okay, and so both of those UVA and UVB lights are both of them are types of UV rays that come from the sun that are not as much blocked by our ozone layer anymore, and they're both of those rays are okay to a certain point to help stimulate our vitamin D. Is that correct? And then it starts burning, or are they just not good at all?
Well, I mean, they do say, and I feel like everyone should, you know, walk out their door on a sunny day and just kind of sit and take in some sunshine with nothing on at all.
Yeah.
Not like in the middle of the day when the sun's the hottest, but when you do put sunblock on your body, you are also blocking that. Yeah.
Right.
So to be out kind of with no sunblock at all for, you know, 15 minutes to get some vitamin D is not a bad thing, but don't get sidetracked and start gardening and pulling weeds up and 3 hours later realize that you're fried and you've been out under the noon sun, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, everyone should absorb some vitamin D every day through their skin.
Yeah.
And if you do, this is something that I really hear all the time. And as an esthetician, it kind of makes me cringe that, oh, I wear sunblock when I go to the beach and I put it all over my face and I reapply it, but I don't, you know, that don't put it on my arms and my legs. And that is a really high cancer area of the body because for that reason, women and men, I think men might be even worse than women because they don't, you know, think they're like can burn or something because their skin's tougher. I don't know.
But, they're emotionally tougher.
I just hear it. I hear it a lot, you know. But it's like, why are you not protecting your arms and your legs? Because you can get skin cancer on those as well. And actually the rate of skin cancer that is on like arms and legs is going up and up and up because of that. People think, you know, I mean, they're making clothing now with SPF protection.
I like those a lot.
Yeah.
I like that. Cause I'm also sort of one of those people that like, you know, my skin does get very, very sensitive to some of the products from sunscreen. And also, it can be a little goopy. And, you know, I have a laundry list of reasons why I don't always care for sunscreen. Not saying I don't use it, but, you know, I love the option to having clothing that has the sunscreen built into it. I think that is a technological marvel that just makes me very happy. Yeah.
It is. And then, you know, like back to the, you know, the different, you know, with the physical sunscreens, like the one that I have, you know, it offers all of that UVA and UVB, and it protects as soon as you put it on, because you know how the chemical ones, it says to put it on like 20 minutes before you're expected to go out in the sun.
Well, absolutely.
You don't always know that. So a pro of using a physical is like, oh, I'm going out, I have my bottle with me, I can rub it on, just go out and be good. It lasts longer, but it usually doesn't have that kind of, you know, effect on the skin because there's not that kind of ingredients in there to cause the stinging or if it gets in your eyes to bother. But it does have to be reapplied if you're out swimming or if you're jogging or something and you're going to be sweating a lot.
Absolutely.
It'll come off a lot faster. But for those like you, Caroline, where you said that you're pretty sensitive, it's better because it deflects heat and energy given off the sun away from the skin. So it's deflecting that heat away from your skin. So if you know, people have sensitive skin or rosacea, redness, or anything like that, the physical would be better for you in the long run, even if you didn't care whether you were using chemicals or not.
Yeah.
And it's less likely to clog your pores and you know, cause problems with people who have blemish-prone skin type.
Oh, that's really
and
interesting.
And it has a longer shelf life as well.
Okay. So now the physical blocker type sunscreens would be like the zinc. And then what was the other product that you mentioned?
Titanium dioxide.
Now, if those are, okay. So those are those the two main ones that are the physical blockers? Is that what I'd be looking for on the back of a label of a sunscreen? If I wanted to kind of avoid the like you know, sometimes like my, the skin on my neck would get like a little, not like, it's just like a little uncomfortable from wearing the sunscreen or like, yeah, like you said, getting a little bit like breakouts and kind of things like that. And so those mm-hmm. would come more from the sunscreen that is the chemical stuff that I would absorb into my body. So the blocking sunscreens, I'm just like mentally recapping and for everybody out there so that we can kind of, you know, it's like all, this is like all kind of new information for me. So, so the blocking type sunscreen, would have ingredients like the zinc, or I keep saying in my mind, it's titanium dioxide. Say one more time.
Yeah. Titanium
okay.
dioxide.
Okay, cool. I feel like that would like make spaceships or something like that. Like it sounds so cool. Great. Okay. So
but,
now,
you know, and go then, ahead. But the cons of it would be, you know, like I had mentioned before, you know, you have to, and I want people to know this too, is that it does sweat off easier and it does rinse off in the you know, water if you're swimming in a lake or in the ocean or whatever.
Gotcha.
And a lot of people, mine does not do this because there's a lot of oils in it. So it kind of glows on, goes on really nice and kind of gives you a nice little glow. If you put on any of them really, really heavy because of the zinc and it's sometimes a lot of people steer away from them because it can make them look white.
Yeah. Like the classic like lifeguard look where they like have covered their nose in like the white stuff. Yeah, the sunglasses on. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a little too thick, guys. A little too thick.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just so it's just think, you know, like it may, you know, some of them may be kind of chalky or something like that if somebody wanted to wear it under their makeup, if women put it under their makeup. So that's what, you know, like mine has a lot of like moisturizing properties to it so that it will go on smoother and it won't leave you so chalky. And,
awesome.
You know, I've been getting a lot of really good feedback on, you know, people going to the beach and using it. But there you just, you know, and they tend to be a little thicker too. So it requires a little more effort and,
right.
You know, just a few things like that, you know, just to hit the pros and the cons of both.
Mm-hmm. So I know that you had sunscreen that was built into your moisturizers, your facial moisturizers as part of your like kind of daily sunscreen. Is this the like this is the new stuff that you're making? Like, is that for body as well?
I only sell it in a 2 ounce bottle.
Okay.
So it's kind of like just a new launch, but obviously you can. So when I first launch a product, I like to put it out in a little smaller quantity, get a feel for how well it's going to sell before I start,
absolutely,
you know, having larger quantities of it. So it's kind of just in its like early stages.
Cool.
But I've been using it, and I do this before I put anything on my shelf. You know, I test it on myself, my family, my close friends and relatives and all that, you know.
Not tested on animals. Not tested on animals. Only friends and loved ones.
Tested on loved ones.
Yeah.
But you know, it's been doing really well for me because I'm kind of the same where, you know, we both, I think, would have that Fitzpatrick skin type, which is the type of skin that like is kind of sensitive and burns every time you walk out the door. If you're not protected, it burns always, you know. That's the kind of skin type that I have as well.
Yeah.
But I've been using it on my legs, and it's an SPF of, you know, 30, and it does have moisturizer in it. So it has taken place of the one that you are familiar with. It just doesn't have the chemicals in it anymore. So,
awesome. Yay.
You know.
So, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So do you still have the moisturizer that has the SPF in it? Because that was, I think, is a great kind of like addition to like skin, like your facial skincare routine. Is that still on the shelves as well?
No, I mean, and that's why this does have the the it does have like shea butter and stuff like that. So my it's
this
totally
is like a fresh
over.
Fresh product. Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah,
very good.
I mean, it's got jojoba seed oil, grape seed oil. It's got shea butter in it, vitamin E. So it has all of those really, you know, nice moisturizing, skin nurturing ingredients in it as well.
Awesome.
So it is totally taking place of that, and it's an SPF, but it can be totally used as a day moisturizer for your skin too.
Very cool. And, you know, I want to kind of reiterate to everyone listening out there how much I love these products, and I wouldn't just go ahead and, you know, be endorsing anyone for no particular reason. But, you know, I've known Lori for a long time and I've known her products, and just knowing how she has developed her products over 10 years, and she's so passionate about sourcing her ingredients and her materials and making sure that they're the best quality materials. And, you know, I think that I've learned so much from you, having, you know, been friends and worked alongside you. And, you know, I think that, you know, part of the reason why I trust your knowledge is because you are so diehard about researching and like educating what's in products. And so when you created your own product line, I know that all of that information and all of that education came in. And, you know, you're not making it in huge quantities. Like, you know, it's not being mass produced. It's like it is being sold at your space where you work and where the float spa is. And, you know, it's very like every person that buys that is walking into your space and kind of coming. It's very like very curated experience, of course. But like I said, I just want to reiterate that, you know, part of the reason that I love these products is that first they smell really good. But the ingredients and the stuff going into them, as well as all the education and kind of the, you know, they're just really good products. So,
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. You're welcome. You're doing really good things out there. And I, you know, I trust what you're doing in that corner of the world.
Thanks.
Yeah.
So, I try, you know, sometimes it's hard to keep up, you know, it's like turn on the TV in the morning and coffee's good for you this day, but next day it's not. And a glass of wine a day is good for you one day and it's not the next. So
yeah,
it's really a difficult thing to stay up with, because ingredients are, you know, you want to have things that really are, you know, active. And, you know, I like for people to know that my product has, you know, as much organic and ingredients as I possibly can put into them.
Absolutely.
And that everything on my labels is on my labels. There's nothing that's hidden there's a lot of products out there where people feel that they're trusting what a particular company might tell them, that, you know, oh, there's no preservatives in this. It's all natural, 100% organic. And it can't be. They're not being truthful about what they're putting in their products. And it is a pet peeve of mine. So, you know, there may be things in my labels that somebody might look at and say, well, what is that? And it's a preservative. And, you know, being from the medical field, that's kind of a pet peeve of mine, because I know that natural products are great, and preservatives need to be in skincare, because the result of not having it would be some nasty bacteria growing, and that could make you really, really sick.
Right.
Opposed to an ingredient that might have like a little warning somewhere saying, oh, it doesn't cause cancer, but, you know, it may cause a little irritation in some people, which is the same with any kind of essential oils. I could put, you know, like a little bit of orange oil or grapefruit oil into a massage oil or something, or a lotion, and I could do 5 hand and arm massages along with my facial and have nobody complain about anything, but I might have that one person who may be sensitive, just like somebody's maybe sensitive to a certain food that they eat. So it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a horrible thing, but it has, you know, like it has been known to cause a little itch or skin rash on somebody if they're allergic to it.
Of course, yeah.
I can deal with that rather than thinking that there's some bacteria in there that could potentially cause some serious damage to someone. So be really aware of the fact that, you know, there's no preservatives in our products. Just kind of have that be a red flag.
Right, because you're just like, well, how is it shelf stable and how is it not growing?
Exactly.
Yeah, the like secret nasties in there. So
exactly. That's why I always tell everybody, it's like, well, the stuff that I bought from so-and-so and someplace else or whatever, it doesn't have anything, any of these things in it. And it's like, well, you take a banana or a pineapple and smush it up and make yourself a little face mask and set it on your counter or even in your refrigerator. I mean, ultimately, that would be my goal, is to make like fresh products for everyone every day that has nothing in it, and you put it in your refrigerator, and when the week is gone, you throw it out like you do your leftover food.
Wow.
But
yeah.
In reality,
be the ultimate eco-friendly. Yeah.
That doesn't happen. And the only time that you can kind of trust this is if there's no water in a product. Because that's what actually causes, you know, the bacteria to grow, is any kind of product that there's water in. So if you have like this little, you know, lip balm that you use and you love it and it's got beeswax and shea butter and cocoa butter in it and it feels lovely on your lips, and you know, that's fine because there's no water in that. So
yeah,
that's going to have as long a shelf life as the shortest life of the oil that you put in it.
Right.
So if seed oil lasts for 2 years but avocado oil lasts for 5 years, then that lip balm is going to be good for 2 years.
Gotcha. Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
And now this is kind of a conversation that is very close to my heart, because I know that the regulations, the FDA regulations about what is allowed in our beauty products as well as our makeup are very loosely regulated, to the extent that, like, in Europe, their regulations are like, you know, there's like 400 or 500 different products that are like different chemicals that are not allowed to be put into their skincare. And in the US it's like 5, you know? And so there's this huge discrepancy about, you know, consumer concern about like, oh, like what is in our products? Like what is being used as a preservative? Because our government is not currently, you know, really doing a lot of regulation around that. And so, you know, it does, like you said, get really confusing. It's like one day you hear this, you know, that this is good for you, and then the next day you hear that this is good. And then the thing that, like, having these ideas of, like, there being these sort of, like, secret, like, trademark, you know, secret ingredients or these secret formulas, that really, really creeps me out. And it's like, you know, like, for you, you're like, I'm fully transparent about, like, what I put into my products, but it really scares me that, I mean, I guess scare is a strong word, but it concerns me that, you know, that people in these companies are allowed to put it. It's not just drugstore companies. It's very expensive makeup companies that are doing the same thing. And it's, you know, it's really, really important to just know what we're putting into our bodies and into our environments and all that kind of stuff. So
I mean, it is with it's the same with food, Caroline. You know, if there's a lot of ingredients that are allowed in this country and other countries that's banned as well.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's just sometimes you can, and this I guess is where like my nerdiness comes in a little bit.
Yeah,
where,
bring it out.
You know, I kind of dig into things and it'd be like, all right, what exactly is this all natural, organic, fragrant base? What is that? You know? And so sometimes if you got the time to do it, you can actually get into these different websites from Googling that, and you can actually find the ingredients that are inside of those. And I have done it, and I guess that's why it's such a pet peeve of mine, because I do see these products that are on top shelves in a lot of our, you know, trusted, organic, green, you know, environmentally friendly, safe food and, you know, drug stores and stuff like that. And
like our trusted sources, yeah. Or like we think we know the brand, and so we trust, you know, what's going to be, what they're representing and what they're offering to us. And it's like, that's not enough. Yeah.
You know, it's even more lax when it comes to things that we put on our skin than it does when it comes to things that we put on our face, which is all the more reason that, you know, I always tell people, you know, when they look at my product and, you know, I understand that they haven't heard of it and there's not a famous person that's, you know, advertising it for me. My marketing is, I lack a lot of marketing, you know, it's just me and myself, you know, doing all this, but just to trust that, like, I've done the homework for you.
Yes.
And at this point, this is what I believe is, you know, very effective and as safe as I can get it right now product, you know, and that's the best that I can do for my clientele. And, you know, it's usually when they try, it's because they trust you.
Absolutely.
Which is not what I can't get that when I'm on, you know, like an e-commerce site out in the World Wide Web. I'm like a needle in a haystack compared to all these big companies that can put less of a product out there but have really great marketing to sell it, opposed to me who has a really great product but I don't have, you know, the budget to, you know, pay famous people to market it for me.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
You know, it's like,
probably not going to have Jennifer Aniston, you know, like doing commercials for you, but that's okay. That's okay. Like, let's just assume that I've been really careful all day or at the beach or whatever, and I did not get a sunburn. That was very good. What, like, after a long day of kind of getting a little freckly and maybe a little bit of breakouts, like, what kind of, like, what would you recommend, like, or what kind of services do you offer to kind of help make sure that my skin stays, like, really fresh and kind of summery and, like what kind of fun stuff do you do?
Well, providing you haven't gotten yourself a sunburn.
Yes.
You could come in and get a nice hydrating facial where I would choose according to your skin type after examining your skin, a proper exfoliation, and then follow it up with a super hydrating mask at the end to kind of replenish all of that moisture and hydration back into your skin after being out in the beach all day or whatever it was, you know, with a wind blowing on you and the sun shining on you. And
yes, that's why I want to be. I want to be listening to Janet Jackson with the wind blowing on me and the sun on me. Yes, sounds so good.
Yeah, so I would do it like that, or I also have a really cool facial called the Ultra Complete Facial.
Okay,
which involves ultrasonic microdermabrasion. And a little bit of a lymphatic, kind of a micro massage.
Ooh.
And then I also use the LED light. It's a blue light, which actually helps to, like, lighten and brighten. And if you, you know, happen to put something on your skin that kind of makes you break out, the blue light also is kind of, it helps to kill bacteria that acne.
Okay.
And the red light is really cool because it decreases inflammation and helps to heal, like, into the deeper layers of the skin. So, and then I finish off with infusing a serum, a treatment serum, into your skin ultrasonically. So it's a really great facial. And even though it doesn't have all the massage that, like, some of the regular facials do in it, just having, you know, this little wand rubbing and massaging your face for a whole hour is pretty amazing. And it's very yes. relaxing. Most people fall asleep, but it's a really good hydration and good exfoliation as well.
Awesome. Very cool. And you use all your own handcrafted products that you've developed over the years, and all of that is also used during the facial and everything as well, correct?
Yes.
Awesome. Sure. Very cool. What was I going to say? What's kind of like the ideal, in between kind of seasons and things like that? You know, I love getting a facial, or just like really kind of starting fresh, either once a month or kind of like around the change of the seasons. Like that always feels good as sort of like a reset for my skin, and to kind of like reassess what products I need for you know, the sun and the wind and all that. What is like a good, like, daily, like, what's good, like, a good daily routine? Like, what's ideal for kind of like maintaining a little bit of like oily skin, or, you know, like, what's the best kind of like daily practices, I guess?
So, I mean, I know a lot of people kind of will say that it sounds like a lot, but it really, even if there's a few steps, it doesn't take much longer than, you know, washing your face and brushing your teeth and your normal routine.
Yeah.
But ideally, I like to see everyone use, one of my face washes and a toner and a moisturizer for the three basic steps.
Okay. So the face wash is obviously to kind of clear off the oil and the grime and the bacteria. What's the toner? What's the toner do?
The toner, I call toner one of the ones that doesn't get enough, you know, attention, and the thing that people tend to like to leave out. But for me, I think it's a very important part of your facial skincare routine, because if you look at it like kind of like the Windex of your, for your skin, looking and feeling,
keep it fresh. Same. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're just out of time now. So I just want to reiterate, you know, like, Lori is amazing. Lori Schott is amazing. And go check out the Float Spa. If you haven't floated before, if you haven't gotten a facial or checked out any of her awesome products, go check that out. It's very worth it. So you've been listening to Energy Matters, and thanks so much for joining in. And I hope that everyone has an amazing 4th of July. So thanks again, Lori, for joining us, and take care. All right.
Thanks for having me, Caroline.
Of course. Take care, Lori. All
Bye-bye.
Right. Enjoy your day, everyone.